and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freaks Network. Our guest this morning is Buck Keeley, a master gardener, and we're going to be talking about learning how to plant food and be able to provide for yourself. And of course, we've been taking Buck's advice and getting the soil prepared. And now, of course, spring is here and we've started our planting, and already the radishes are up. Buck, you know, it seems like a little 10 days after you put those radish seeds in the ground, while you've got perfect rows of radishes coming up. How soon should you pick those radishes? Should you let them grow to maturity? Should you harvest them when they're young? What's the best way to deal with the radishes?
Well, it depends what kind of radish you're planting, Dr. Stan. And by the way, good morning to you today. There's different types of radishes, and they mature to different size. The main thing you want to do is make sure you pick them before they get pulpy or woody. That a radish, and like all tubulars, it's the nutrients for the plant, and they pack in moisture and nutrients. But what will happen is that as that radish gets ready to bolt or go to seed, that root will become fibrous or tuberous, and it will not have a good texture to it. So it kind of depends on the pepper that you're, or excuse me, the radish you're planting. If you're planting like a giant breakfast radish, they can get up to 2 inches in diameter and still be tender. So what I would do is, and it also depends on your soil condition and the weather, how quick they bolt. But I would, along about a half inch to a three quarters inch diameter, I would start pulling a radish or two and testing it, and then determine how large you wanted them to get before they started getting fibrous. But, you know, radishes, the goal of a radish is not to grow the biggest radish you can. It's to get some early fresh variety to your salad. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll pull the radishes when they're just barely starting to form, and then I take the radish and the greens together, and I dice them up and add them to my salad. And it makes a great addition to your salad. The leaves on the radish, when they're young and tender, have a very sprite flavor to them, and it gives a peppery flavor to your salad. So you don't have to wait for them to fully mature before you use them. You can start as soon as they start to form just a little bit of a head on them and have the greens and the radish together.
Okay, fine. And what about the carrots? How early should you be harvesting those?
Well, the carrot on the opposite side of a radish, that as long as a carrot doesn't bolt until the second year. So you have to grow carrots 2 years before they'll put on seed. So the first year that you grow them, there's not a chance of them becoming fibrous or tuberous. And so what you'll do with those is you just leave them in the ground until you're ready to use them. Once again, I start harvesting carrots when they're a couple inches long to add some fresh variety to my salads or for a quick stir fry. But oftentimes I leave my carrots in the ground through the winter. If you're in a colder, hard climate to where you get a deep frost, this is, you know, you'll have to provide a little protection for them. But here in southern Oregon, where our frost line is about 3 or 4 inches deep, if we just throw a little hay on top of our carrots. And the longer they stay in the ground, the sweeter they are. So you don't need to store them in a root cellar, or you don't have to pull them out at the end of the season because of frost. Leave them in the ground, then go out and dig them as you need them throughout the winter, and you'll have the sweetest carrots you've ever tasted in your life.
Okay, fine. And so the other things are beginning to come along. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Buck, something you want to know about gardening, specifically learning to grow your own vegetables and your own fruits, this is the time to do it. And I think it's a good idea to learn under any circumstances. But I will tell you that we are entering into very, very difficult times here in America. It doesn't seem possible. Everything looks perfectly normal, and I just like it's always been. But we are, in all probability, going to war with the Muslim world. And if anybody thinks that this is going to be just like in the last wars, where we can sit and watch this one on television, not going to influence us. You know, a million people would die, but we don't care. We torture our prisoners, but nobody here cares. We have to do that to protect ourselves. Well, it's going to be very difficult to protect ourselves. There are active Islamic terrorist groups here in America, most of them being funded by very wealthy people, funded by the CIA. And those of you who haven't heard my interviews with Paul Williams or people from the Christian Action Network or other interviews really have no concept of what's going on. Or those of you who are unaware of the fact that the United States transferred nuclear bomb technology to Pakistan, has been concealing that. Everybody else in the world knows it. Here in America, they've blocked out the Sybil Edmonds story. But if you think that we're going to escape from suffering in the next war, why, you're sadly mistaken. And so this is why you need to learn to begin to look after yourself, and why people need to learn how to begin to provide the food and get back to the garden. As we were originally intended, rather than simply going, all we have to do is just go to the grocery store and everything's just fine. Well, Buck, has there been an increased interest in gardening, do you think? Are more and more people laying in seeds and fertilizers, the other things that you offer?
Yes, that there's an awareness among people who are that are not just in tune to the mass media, but are looking to your sites and other areas where they expand their information base, that there is a war that's being waged against the American people, and part of that is food security. That if you look around, every time you turn around, the FDA or another department has made another regulation that makes it more difficult for non-industrialized food production. Just this week in Michigan, there's been laws passed that basically outlaws owning of any other swine other than what's industrially grown, what they call the white meat. And so they're trying to eradicate competition with the industrial farmers. And so that's true in the food supply as well, that they could start at any time restricting the kind of seeds that you can own over the basis of trying to protect the genetic strains that they, Monsanto and others, are creating, as well as the hybridization that is done in university laboratories to secure their portion of the market. And the government just abstractly can make these decisions. We've seen what's been going on to where the Congress is not involved and the courts are not involved. It's just administrative decisions that's being made through bureaucracy that's limiting our ability to have our own food security. And so I don't know what the future holds, but I do know there's awareness out there among your listeners as well as our other customer base that we need to provide for our own food security.
And okay, hold that. We'll be back in just a moment. Our number, 877-254-7524. If you have any questions or comments.
Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Holy is the Lord.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Regardless of one's age, there is a living heritage, adventures, experience, and memories to share. So be sure to show how much you care by remembering an elderly family member, friend, or neighbor, by a ride to church, a trip shopping, or better yet, take the time to visit. Learn about life from the most experienced people in the world and make a difference. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority on the air, because they care.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, I stand back here. I guess it's Money McKinley and MasterCard here. And if you have any questions about Sydney, gardening, things of that sort, things you need to know, this is a great time to get an answer from somebody who does this full-time, doing it for a long period of time. My number is 877-254-7524. Well, I got my tomatoes in the ground, and you know, I've heard people talking about pinching off tomato plants. What are they talking about? Why would you do that? What do you do?
Well, the pinching off of the tomato plants is something that it's kind of like cutting the ends off the rose for grandma. Why did we do it? It's because of what we always done. There's basically two types of tomato plants. There's determinate and indeterminate. And the way you can tell the difference between the tomatoes that you're growing if you don't have that information is the determinate plants are bushy and the indeterminate are viney. And the determinate plants, they work to production and they're finished. That the goal of the bush or the determinate is to produce its fruit and then it dies. And if you pinch back on the determinate, sometimes that help puts off the termination of the budding of the plant. The best way, though, to keep the determinate plants producing is keep the fruit pulled off of it so it continues to produce fruit. The indeterminate will get up to 8 or 9, 10 foot tall, and they'll continue to grow until frost. But the best way, if you're looking at planting and producing good, healthy tomato plants, which I think the average gardener is looking for, is you want to provide an environment for that plant to flourish and choose the proper plant for what you're trying to do. If you're trying to can up a lot of tomatoes and you want them to come off all at the same time so that you can have a harvest and set up and can or dehydrate a lot of tomatoes, a determinate plant is a good plant for you to choose, the bushy type plant. So you get the fruit happening all at once, and then you pass that season, you pull the plants, and you move to another product that you'll plant. Most home gardeners, though, are not looking to have 500 or 600 pounds of tomatoes to happen all at once. They're looking to pick tomatoes through the season and can up as they go and have fresh tomatoes till last frost. And the best way to do that is with your indeterminate or the viney tomato plants. And either the determinate or the indeterminate, to have a good, healthy plant, what you want to do is start out in a good prepared soil that you have been augmenting your soil and building your soil through the year. You want to plant that plant deep, that you want to, the plant that you either have grown in your own greenhouse or in your home or you've purchased from a local nursery, you want to pull off the bottom set of leaves and you want to bury that plant up to the next set of leaves. In other words, that when you plant that plant, you don't want anything showing out of the ground except the bottom pair of leaves. You want the vine completely buried in the ground. And what that will do, each one of those leaf nodes will put on roots. And that's going to build a healthy, big root system, which you need if you're going to support a healthy plant. So that's the best way to provide for a healthy plant. Pinching them off, I wouldn't recommend pinching off the tomato vines unless you're trying to keep a determinate tomato plant growing longer or if you have an unhealthy plant. Once again, most folks think the bigger the plant, the better it'll be to transplant. The ideal size for transplanting your tomatoes is somewhere between 6 to 8 inches. Those big bushy tomato plants that you go down to the nursery or the big box store and buy, and they've got blooms all over them. Well, they've been kept in an artificial environment. They've been kept in the nursery like we do ours, and they've been fed lots of nutrients. And so they're preparing to produce that artificially. They've been told it's time to put on fruit. And so you buy these tomato plants that are bloomed out and may even have small fruit on them, and you transplant them into the ground. The shock of the transplant will cause most of those blooms and all of that fruit to come off. And once that happens, it causes a detrimental effect to the plant. So if you buy one of those big plants, you're going to transplant it, pinch off all the blooms. If there's any fruit, pinch it off, pull off the bottom set of leaves, plant it deep, and be ready to maintenance it for a while. If you want to have an easy gardening experience, look for the smaller plants that has a good, healthy root system, but they're not so large that it takes more root system to support it than it has. And a good way of looking at that is if you'll look at the size of the pot the plant's in, plan to have that plant 2.5 times larger than that pot. And that means the root system would be developed to support it. So be very careful of the plants you choose. Plant them deep, water them heavy when you first transplant them, and give them a little fertilizer. And if you do that, you'll have healthy plants.
All right, fine. Well, now, Sydney, of all the vegetables, the squashes, things like that are in. When do you plant your winter squash? At what time do you do that? And why not put them in earlier? Why wait till later in the year?
Well, most of the time, gardeners are using their space to the best of their ability for the space they have. If you have unlimited gardening space, then it really doesn't make any difference when you plant it. But your summer squash, most of it's going to be 60 days, more or less, to producing fruit. So you want to make sure that you get it in at least 2 months to 2.5 months before last frost. If you have lots of gardening space, as soon as the soil temperature and the air temperature is beyond the frost, and your soil temperature is up to about 55 or 60 degrees, you can plant those plants, and they'll get viney, and they'll produce the fruit on them. But it really doesn't advance it much than if you plant them later in the season. Because it's the winter squash operates by a higher temperature zone than your summer squash. Your summer squash has a lower temperature for germination for the seed. It has a lower temperature for production for the fruit. So when you look at the winter squash, it has a higher temperature because it produces later in the year, and it produces a different type of fruit. Your summer squash will be a very water-rich fruit. So if you take a straight-neck zucchini or a crook-neck summer squash, and you cut it, it's very full of water. If you let them grow till they're large, they become very hard and inedible. This is the nature of what they do, is they begin to produce off, and they're going to turn to seed. They're going to bolt and produce seed for the plant. So you keep pulling off those squash as they're young, and that plant keeps producing because he doesn't know that he's done producing. A winter squash operates different, that the fruit it puts on, it's not a very moist product. It's a dry, heavy membrane product, and it's designed to grow with a hardness to it, and so it does best in the hotter temperatures. So you can plant them early, but you won't increase your production much, but you get the planting over if you want.
All right. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question about gardening for Buck, of course, our number is 7725475-7524. What about fertilizing? How often should we be fertilizing our various vegetables?
Well, it depends on the vegetable. Your short duration vegetables, like we were speaking about your radishes, when you first plant your seed, if you throw down a little side dressing fertilizer, that'll be all you need to do. Same thing with lettuces. They're short duration plants. And so you don't need to load up the fertilizer. It's not going to assist them that much in their growth. But your long-duration growing vegetables like tomatoes and peppers and squash and melons, then you need to fertilize them more than once. So when you first plant, it's a good time to throw down some fertilizer, either at the bottom where you're putting the seed in the ditch, cover up a little dirt and put the seed on top. And just as a little information on that, be careful when you're fertilizing, you're not using any fresh manure, for two reasons. One is the pathogens that you can transfer, but also, if it's fresh manure, it could burn the seed with the nitrogen that's in it. So you want to make sure that you have either a good organic fertilizer you're putting down, or if you're putting down your own composting that you're doing with manure, make sure it's well seasoned. But put it down at the bottom of the ditch, put a little dirt on top of it, plant your seeds, cover your seeds. And a good rule of thumb for the depth of your seed is about twice the depth of the size of the seed. So obviously a corn, you're going to plant that a half inch to three-quarter inch deep, and a smaller seed, you're going to be less than that. And then as your plants grow, your tomatoes, your peppers, your squashes, your melons, those kind of things that produce long duration, as they start to bloom, give them a little fertilizer. As they're producing fruit every couple of weeks, give them fertilizer. It'll produce larger fruit and healthier fruit for you if you put the added fertilizer.
All right. And would you put the fertilizer in water, or would you just put it on the ground and then water it in?
Well, there's two concepts on fertilizing. One is using a liquid and one is using a solid. If you put down, for an example, the Uncle Buck's fertilizer that we sell, if you put that down as a granulated form as it comes, it'll have a longer, slower effect going to the root system. That has to be emulsified by water when you water, when it rains, and then it finds its way down to the roots, and then it goes into the system. It's a slower to act, longer acting when you do that. If you're looking for immediate burst, and this is what we use most of the time in the greenhouse and sometimes in the garden, it depends on the product, but we make a tea. And what I make my tea out of is I take worm castings, which is the best form of compost you can get out there. I mix it with our Uncle Buck's fertilizer and a couple of tablespoons of molasses. And then I put it in a bucket and I aerate it. And the reason why I aerate it, I want the microorganisms to grow. The microbes is what consumes the castings of the worms down finer to where it's more readily available to the roots. And I let it set for 24 hours and aerate, so the oxygen encourages the microbial growth. And then I put liquid fertilizer directly to the root base of each plant. I just use a bucket to pour it out of with the spout on it. And so I put it on each one of the plants as a base. And then it gives an immediate burst. It's like a vitamin B12 shot for a plant. And then I also will long-term on the side of these plants put down a little dry fertilizer so that it has absorption over the next couple of weeks. But I kind of use a combination of both in my garden and in the greenhouse, and it works well.
All right, we have somebody calling in. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Karen from Colorado.
Okay, Karen, you have a question or comment?
And what I'm calling about, can I ask, I had a couple of questions. The fertilizer, a lot of times I just use manure, so that's not going to do as much because it doesn't have as broad a nutrient base or what?
Correct. That your fertilizers are separate from your composting. And basically, if you're putting down cow manure or horse manure or chicken manure, whatever it is, that you're putting down what is basically a compost. That's been organic material that's been reduced in volume. A cow eats grass, it ruminates through its stomachs, and then it expels it, and it's been composted to a degree. So that's basically a compost, and it's great for soil augmentation to build your soil. You're not going to get a nutrient burst out of that, though. So I'm not discouraging using that. I'm saying that's an ideal thing to augment your soil. But when you move into production time, you want to fertilize. Fertilizer feeds the plant. Compost feeds the soil. So as you're into production with your plants, you've planted your plants. If you want to give them an extra burst of strength in production, then you fertilize that plant. But remember, whatever you're putting on that plant, eventually it's going to be what you're putting in your body. Stay away from non-organic-based fertilizer. Stay away from petroleum-based fertilizers. Use a good organic fertilizer.
I see. And how do you plant? How do you have success in green and red peppers? And could you? Okay.
Go ahead.
And then I'd like to know the easiest seeds to plant because the peppers are
hard.
You're
in Colorado, correct?
Yes.
Yes, the cooler climates, hotter peppers have a more difficult time in producing. They have a longer germination rate. For an example, if you take like a California Wonder sweet bell pepper, the germination for that seed's around 5 to 7 days for it to actually put on its first little leaves. If you're growing a habanero pepper, the germination rate on that is 14 to 21 days. And so you're having, it takes longer for it to germinate, and it takes a higher temperature. Your California Wonder seed will germinate at around 75 degrees soil temperature, and your habanero seed will germinate at 85 degrees. So you're looking at a warmer temperature plant. Unless you have a greenhouse or putting up hoop houses over your peppers, I would encourage you to stay with the sweet peppers. And the best way to grow a good sweet pepper in a cooler climate is you want to start those starts inside. You want to transplant them as soon as the last week of frost is over. You want to plant them in a good, nutritious soil, and you want to provide for them a little nutrients as they begin to produce fruit. If you're able to, in your garden, in the cooler temperatures, provide something like, take a gallon jug, cut the bottom of it out, and put it over that small plant for the first couple of weeks. It'll give it an artificial greenhouse to help it along. But once that soil temperature gets up to about 65 to 70 degrees, that plant will take off and do well and produce a lot of fruit, as long as you keep it well fertilized.
Oh, that's great. And easy seeds to grow.
Easy seeds to grow on the peppers.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Peter Duncan.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Buck Keeley. We do have a caller on the line, but please be patient with me. First of all, if you'd like to call in, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Before we go on, Buck, I want you to get out your telephone number and your website so people can get to Seed Catalog, and then we'll go from there. Go right ahead.
All right. Our toll-free number is 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132. Give us a call on our toll-free number. We'll be glad to help you out with an online order or to take an address and send you a catalog. Our website is Seed Catalog, SEEDCATALOG, just like it sounds, all one word, seedcatalog.com. Type that into your address bar of your browser. It'll take you right to our site. Or you can go to Dr. Stan's site at Radio Liberty and click on Heirloom Seeds, and it'll take you to our site as well.
All right. Now, our caller from Colorado, you were asking about what the best seeds are to plant. What was the question?
My question really is, what are the easy seeds to get production from? Because, you know, you can get waste a lot of time in planting things that are too complicated.
Are you talking about peppers in particular, or are you talking about all seeds?
All seeds, all seeds.
Okay, the early seeds, the easiest ones to plant that where you don't have to spend a lot of time and have a lot of knowledge for early producing plants, radishes that we were speaking of earlier is a very easy plant that you put them in the ground about 2 inches apart. You cover them up with about a half inch of soil or less and water them, and you're going to have radishes. I mean, you just can't hardly ruin it. Lettuces, early lettuces like romaine lettuce, loose leaf lettuces, they're easy. Head lettuces are more difficult. Stay with the loose leaf lettuces. Turnips are very easy. You get a double hit on those. You get the greens as well as the tubers as they grow. Very easy. You plant them in the ground, water them, a little fertilizer, and they do great. So those kind of early crops do well. Peppers, moving into peppers, sweet peppers are the easiest. By the way, the only difference between a red pepper and a green pepper is time. The reason why you're going to pay 2 to 3 times the price for red pepper in your market is because it's been in the grow rate for another 2 to 3 weeks afterwards, so it takes up more time. But a good pepper that's easy to grow in your home garden is the giant emerald green pepper. It'll also produce red peppers if you leave it on the vine long enough. The easiest tomatoes, Cherokee purple, grow naturally. They do well in your garden. They're easy to grow. The Roma tomato does very well. They're easy to grow. Beans and peas, the easiest peas to grow are the Oregon peas. They grow very well in cool temperatures where you live. They would do great there. Beans, your Kentucky bush beans or the Kentucky pole beans will do well in your area. In most areas, they're easy. Once again, you put them in the ground, keep them watered and a little moisture. The key to all of these is having at least 6 hours of daylight where the sun hits them. The longer you have for tomatoes, the better, but a minimum of 6 hours for them to produce fruit and do well for all your vegetables in the garden. The squashes, the joke around here is on the zucchini squash, come June, you better have the windows of your car rolled up and the doors locked, or else you're going to find zucchini in your car. Zucchini is a rapid growing, very easy to produce. It will produce more squash off of one vine than your family will eat. So the early summer squash, the zucchini green or the zucchini gray would do great. Winter squash, the easiest ones to grow is the acorn. The Queen Anne acorn squash will do great. You plant them and turn them loose, they'll do good. The butternut squash, you plant it, turn it loose, they'll do good. Melons, the easiest melon is probably the Charleston gray. In your area would do well. It's a short-term melon. Your cantaloupes will do well as well. They're going to be around 70 days. So those are all easy growers for you. And those are, when I put together our garden packs for the small city garden and for the large backyard garden, that kept that in mind on plants that's easy to maintain and manage for the home gardener. There's a few more difficult ones that we put in there, but most of them is, as Ron Ronco would say, you set it and you forget it, you put it in your garden, you prepare it, and then you harvest, and it's very little in between other than weeding.
Great. And the heirloom seeds, can you discuss your heirloom seeds?
Yes, there's three types of seeds that's in the market. There's heirloom seeds, which are open-pollinated, and I'll address that in just a minute. There are hybrid seeds, which are closed-pollinated, and there's genetically modified seeds. In the in the arena of the home gardening, there's no genetically modified seeds that's currently being marketed. They've tested a couple of them and they failed, that we know of. There's no genetically modified vegetable seeds that's being marketed to the general public. That's going to happen again. They're producing another tomato out of Hawaii. They're going to try to market. So that leaves us with the open pollinated heirloom seeds versus the hibernated seed. The best way to understand the open pollinated is that they're not reproduced in a lab. They're grown in open air so that you'll have growers around the country that plants a certain variety of tomatoes, such as the Cherokee purple tomato. They keep it separated from other tomatoes so there's no cross-pollinization that happens in the open air, and it produces that same fruit over and over and over and over. The definition of an heirloom seed is open to discussion, but basically most people agree that it's pre-1938 seeds that have been maintained in that condition where they were passed from generation to generation. And so a heirloom seed, an open pollinated heirloom seed, will produce the same fruit time after time after time, identical fruit of its parents. Now, the other side of that is hybridized seeds. That's where in laboratories, in universities, and in production facilities such as Murphy's and Monsanto and other places, that they artificially pollinate the seeds, that they place into the seeds a genetic material that causes a certain product to come out. And maybe the best way to understand that is breeding out white rabbits, to where that a rabbit producer will take the common traits of a rabbit and produce it out until he has a white rabbit, mates it with a white rabbit, he gets a white rabbit. But in this, with the hybridization, what happens is that when they take the genetic material from the male and the female vegetable and they pair them together for certain characteristics to produce a fruit, that fruit will not produce within itself that same thing again. It may not produce any fruit. It certainly will not produce what you grew. So in your hybridized seeds, they are not sustainable. You can't harvest the seeds from a tomato or a pepper or any other product that's hybridized, save them, plant them next year, and come up with the same fruit. You're going to come up with some kind of anomaly that's probably not edible. And so the open pollinated seeds are the only ones that you can plant this year, eat the fruit, and harvest the seeds, dry them, and plant next year and have a sustainable food product in line. Now, the commercial growers who grow commercially product, what they want is uniformity in food where it produces all at the same time and has the same characteristics. And at the same time, those who sell the seed wants to sell those seed time after time after time. The heirloom seeds, nobody owns patents to them. But all of the hybridized seeds, there's patents owned to them to where people actually own the technology that created those seeds. So when you grow that plant, technically, even if it would reproduce, you don't own those seeds. You can't replant them. And Dr. Stan's familiar with the Monsanto lawsuits that they have going on now with that anyway. But anyway, so that's what an heirloom seed is. It's an open pollinated, reproducing season after season. That you can harvest the seed and replant and use them year after year.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
This is Pastor Michael Golden inviting you to join the Voice of Many Waters congregation as we continue our series of studies on Messiah, Yeshua, and the Seven Feasts of the Lord. The Voice of Many Waters congregation meets every Shabbat at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. Services begin at 1 p.m. Call 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562 for more information. Check us out on the web at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Shabbat Shalom.
Well, and back here at the American Freedom Network, we have a caller on the line, and who's calling in?
Hi, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. Do you have a question?
I have a question about, I've planted a bunch of seeds, pansies and tomatoes and spinach, and I made my own potting soil, you know, I baked it in the oven, and I was just wondering, now that they are sprouted and they're growing, your little green shoots, should I put some kind of a fertilizer on those?
Well, what you want to do with, there's you're dealing with two different aspects of plant growth. One is germination of seed, and the other is then seedling growth. On the germination of the seed, that seed needs no nutrients to produce to the first set of colloidal leaves. So when you plant that seed, as a matter of fact, anybody who sprouts seeds knows this. You can put a seed in an environment where it's damp and dark, and that seed is going to produce a plant, and we call those sprouts. They require no soil. They require no nutrients. It's kind of like an egg. We've got 150 or so eggs in our incubator right now, and here in a few days we're going to have a bunch of little chickens. And so those chickens inside of that eggshell has all the nutrients it needs to develop, and it's the same with the seed. So when you created that sterile soil where you baked the pathogens out of it so that you would have an environment where the seed had a better chance of germinating, and you put it in and you gave it moisture, what you're doing is providing the environment for that little seed to germinate, or if you will, incubate and produce a plant. When that plant pushes out of the ground, you're going to have two little leaves on top of it, the colloidal leaves, the first leaves, and it'll have enough nutrients in that seed to produce those healthy little seedlings. And then you're going to see in the middle of that plant a couple of more leaves coming up. That's the first set of true leaves. When that first set of true leaves come up, they need at that point to have two things. One is light for photosynthesis, and the second is nutrients for the root system to feed on, that you can have the aspect of the sugars being created going to the roots and the roots sending up then the energy to the plant. At that time, when you see that first set of true leaves, you need to transplant those little plants out of that sterile soil into a good potting soil. And that potting soil will have nutrients that are in it. The potting soil that we use is an organic soil, and it has in it a variety of organic materials that are in there, including compost manure, and then we have seed meal, and we have bone meal, and we have calcium and lime, and those kind of things that provide nutrients for that plant. So if you just fertilize that little plant with fertilizer, you still have it in a sterile soil. And you're feeding the plant, but the soil has no nutrients for the roots to really grow in.
Yeah.
So I would suggest transplanting those plants now, once they get that first set of true leaves, into larger pots, into a 3.5 or 4.5 inch pot with a good potting soil. And then you can fertilize them occasionally as you go along, but you want to get them in a good soil now. If not, what will happen is you'll create these little miniature plants that will never mature into a full plant.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. I've got the top leaves, but I don't have the side leaves yet.
Until they produce the first set of true leaves, you don't need to worry about any fertilizers on them. That's still operating off the nutrients that's in that seed core. And
yeah,
but once you see the first
ones, if they sprouted, or should I keep them kind of wrapped up still?
Say that again.
Should I planted them in egg cartons and I had them wrapped in plastic bags.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as soon as you see them coming up, take the plastic off of them, and because you're going to need to water them now. They're going to start using water.
Yeah.
And take the plastic. The reason why you put the plastic on there is for humidity.
Yeah, right.
Seeds require humidity. But once they've germinated, you take that plastic off and they'll do a lot better.
Okay, and put them in light?
Yeah, put them in light. They need to either be underneath an artificial light, such as a shop light that's close to it, or on a good sunny windowsill where it gets about 6 hours of sunlight a day.
6 hours?
Yeah, 6 hours minimum is what you need on that.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, Buck, I want you to get your telephone number and, of course, your website out again for us, please.
All right, our telephone number is toll-free 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132, and our web address is seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com, all one word. Type that into your address bar of your browser, and it'll take you right to our site, or you can go to Dr. Stan's site at Radio Liberty and click on Heirloom Seeds, and it'll take you to our site as well.
All right. Well, of course, our guest this morning, Buck Keeley, from seedcatalog.com. That's seedcatalog.com. And Buck, has a wealth of knowledge. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you start thinking differently. The world we've known in the past is no longer there. I mean, everything looks the same as it always has, but believe me, the whole financial structure of our country and the world is beginning to crumble. We're moving into a major war. How this will end up, oh, God only knows. Powerful spirits and forces at work, but begin making your plans and hope and pray that all of our predictions are wrong, and I hope they are. I wish they were, but I've been studying this for 50 years, and we're moving into very, very difficult times. So make your plans accordingly. Buck, any parting thoughts for our listeners this morning?
I encourage your listeners to go garden. There's nothing as good for the soul as there is for growing God's own best garden plants. And encourage you to grow a good plant when you grow it. Get your seeds from a reliable source. Grow heirloom seeds that'll give you good, tasty, sustainable plants, as well as let you harvest the seeds. And encourage your folks to visit our website and get their seeds early ordered. That we're starting to run out of some of them now. As with all of these types of seeds, they have a shelf life where we stock a certain amount, and there's a certain amount the growers grow. And we're into the season now where we're starting to have to discontinue some seeds because we're running out. We'll get more till next year. So get your seed orders in early.
All right, fine. And I think it's interesting that there are beginning to be some shortages of seeds, and certainly more and more people are doing the planting. And anyway, God bless, Buck, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon on our other networks.
Blessings to you, Dr. Stan, and your listeners as well.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're some of the Buck. He has a great deal of knowledge, and I've certainly learned a lot from him. I hope you have as well. Beginning to think differently about certainly the difference between fertilizer and manure. I was talking about the same, but there's so much to learn. But the most amazing thing is that little tiny seed has within it everything that's necessary for life. Once we close the moisture and...
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
CINN stations in ALT salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in ALT, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, I am here at our American Freedom Network, and there's we hope you enjoy our monthly programs here with Buck Keeley. And, of course, we hope you heed what we're talking about. But we're moving into very, very difficult times. Certainly, there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, and God has not eventually brought his punishment to that nation. And certainly, we know that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And we've got real problems with our Christian churches. They've changed the message of the church. If you haven't read the book we offer, The Secret of the Lord, we certainly recommend it. It goes into the fact of how they've actually changed the message of the Christian church. At one time, of course, we used to hold God in awe and in fear, and knowing full well that he punished sinners. They've taken all that out of the scriptures. Why? Well, they want to convince us God is nothing but love. And if God is nothing but love, it is the ultimate triumph of evil. There's no punishment for sin. If there's no right or wrong that God will hold us to, if you believe that, our society's in real trouble. Unfortunately, most people do. The enemy is working within the Christian church today. They are programming the Christians to say we should love Israel. That's why we should attack Iran. And, of course, exactly the opposite case is if you love Israel, the last thing we want to do is attack Iran. Because I read the publications of the other side, and they tell us that Iran would never attack Israel unless we were to attack Iran. That would be stupid, because, of course, they know that both Israel and the United States could leave Iran nothing but smoking embers under any circumstances. Why we are going to precipitate a war with Iran, how it's going to come about, I don't know. But there is going to be massive consequences, because we're not going to try to destroy Iran. We're simply going to irritate it, and Iran is going to strike back, and heaven help Israel under those circumstances when thousands of missiles rain down on Israel. And without God's intervention, why, there'd be terrible consequences. I do believe, of course, that God will protect Israel at this time in history, although there'd be tremendous suffering. I do believe that God has brought the children of Israel back to the Holy Land for a purpose at this time in his plan. What is his plan? Well, one of them, I think, is you need to read the book Apollyon Rising 2012 by Tom Horn. I write the foreword to it. Apollyon Rising 2012 by Tom Horn. It's a well worthwhile reading. Going into many of the prophecies about this era from many sources, and of course, there are Christian sources, but there are other sources of information. And I believe, of course, that the enemy is certainly using this and manipulating everything to convince us, of course, that certain things are happening. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I do know that everything you are witnessing today is being created and manipulated. Apollyon Rising by Tom Horn, 2012. You need to read my book, Brother of Darkness. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for me. Until tomorrow. May the Lord.
And the Lord. Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of